Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles 27. Now, I want to know which one of you ladies was singing the low alto. I thought it was you. Singing bass. That was a blessing. I was planning to preach the message I'm going to preach tonight. Last Sunday night, when I had my little problem in the afternoon with my tooth, and so Brother Todd preached, and he did a great job. And I want to go ahead and use the message tonight. Last Sunday night was Workers' Appreciation Sunday night, and this now is our 35th birthday as a church, and. So I want to bring this message tonight and let you know how important it is for each one of us to fill our place in service for the Lord. We have a cry room back here, brother. All right. Have a very good nursery across the street, too. Beginning to read in verse number 25 of 1 Chronicles chapter 27, stand if you will. Now, it's going to be an amazing thing for this old country boy to get through these verses. Just the difficult words. So, this isn't a comedy show. I'm not trying to be funny. I am trying to be serious and pronounce these words somewhat close what they should be. The Bible says in verse 25, and over the king's treasure was Azmaveth, the son of Adiel, and over the storehouse in the fields, in the cities, and in the villages, and in the castles, was Jehoiathan, the son of Uzziah. And over them that did the work of the fields for the tillage of the ground was Ezri, the son of Chelub. And over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite, and over the increase of the vineyards, for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shipmite. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Balhanan, the Gederite. And over the cellars of oil was Joash. And over the herds that fed in Sharon was Shariah, the Sharonite. And over the herds that were in the valleys was Shaphat, the son of Adaliah. And over the camels also was Obil, the Ishmaelite. And over the asses was Jediah, the Meronathite. And over the flocks was Jaziz, the Hagarite. And all these were the rulers of the substance which was King David's. Also Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmoniah, was with the king's sons. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor. And Hushai, the Archite, was the king's champion or companion. And after Ahithophel was Jehoiada, the son of Benaiah, the Abathar, and the general of the king's army was Joab. Whew. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as we look at this passage and preach the message that you've given us from this passage that will help and encourage and strengthen our people. We love you, and we love the fact that for 35 years, Trinity Baptist Church has been in business for you. Now, there's been some rough times. There's been some times when people would think and did think that Trinity Baptist was going out of business. There's been some times when the devil tried everything he knew how to do to hinder this ministry. But through it all, you have raised this church up and preserved it and blessed it. And now then, in the heart of the Metroplex, we see you doing a work that cannot be described except God did it. And we thank you for it. Now we realize, Father, the work of a local church is not the ministry of one person. But there has been a multitude of people who have invested their life, their time, their finances, their prayers, their ministry to make this church what it is. And we thank you for every one of them. Now, Lord, tonight, help me to say some things that would strengthen and encourage your people. Forgive me of my sin, and bless me and help me and strengthen me, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Chronicles 27, King David is assigning the duties and the places of service for chosen men throughout the kingdom. Brother up in the sound room, I'm just a little hot. Would you turn me down a little bit? Whatever it was, y'all fixed it. So he was assigning duties and places of service for the men throughout his kingdom. I think perhaps the most important job of the pastor in pastoring a church and leading a church, other than the pulpit ministry, the teaching ministry, is choosing the right people to put in the right places to minister. What are you doing here, Sarah? Spring break? You just get home? All right, pardon us for this little conversation here. We'll get back to the message. Good to have you home, hon. First time Caleb's been on front row since last time he was home. Man. But as I said, I think the most important duties of a pastor, other than his pulpit ministry and teaching ministry, is the ministry of choosing the right people to put in the right place of ministry in the church. You get the wrong person in the wrong place, and they create more hurt and havoc than they are a blessing to the cause of Christ. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we've read how David chose some to be captains in the army. Some were appointed to be the chief captain. Others were made rulers over their tribe. Some were made counselors and advisors to the king. Others were put in charge of the vineyards. Others in charge of the crops in the field. While others were put in charge of the herds of sheep and the herds of camels and donkeys and cattle. David made Joab general over all of the armies of King David. Now, all of these men had important duties in the service of the king. No doubt their place of service brought them prestige and honor and recognition throughout the kingdom. As I was studying this, I was thinking how little kids pretend to be different people. They play like they're so-and-so. And I imagine that throughout the kingdom, little kids made heroes out of different men here. I imagine children would talk about growing up and be like one of these men. Maybe they would play like they were one of the king's scribes or his counselor. Maybe they'd play like they're one of his captains, or perhaps even like General Joab. But there was another man who was given a place of service also. In all of these other people, we are given their name and their pedigree, who their father was, where they came from, something to identify them. But the person I've chosen to preach about tonight is simply stated in this fashion: over the sellers of oil was Joash. Over the sellers of oil was Joash. Now his job was the keeper of the sellers of oil. He worked underground in cellars cut out of limestone or rock, and his duties included overseeing the putting of the olives through the oil press and then storing the oil in containers until the king needed it. You see, the king would use it for light, and he'd use it for medication. And the job of Joash was to take the olives, put them through the press, put the oil in containers, and store them in the cellars of oil to be used as the king needed them. The job of Joash didn't produce a lot of recognition. It didn't produce much honor for himself. It was a dirty job. It was a greasy job. It was an underground job. He was out of sight and out of mind until he didn't do his job. There wasn't any oil. Perhaps there was no one in the entire kingdom who wanted to grow up and be a Joash. Maybe there was not a person in the kingdom that pretended to be a keeper of the seller of oil. I have no record that he was anyone's hero. He was a man of little recognition. In fact, the scripture simply tells us that over the sellers of oil was Joash. His job was that of a servant. The root meaning of his name means to give. Joash means, in the Hebrew, to give. Probably none of these mentioned here in this passage better describes us as servants of God as does Joash. Joab could say, "Well, I'm the general." Joash would have to say, "Well, I'm just the king's servant." And isn't that what we are? There was just one general over the king's army. Visible, prestigious, recognizable. But here was Joash in the cellars, running the oil press, storing the oil. Greasy, dirty. Nobody. You all right, Mrs. Davis? Okay. Nobody. You ought to see what I see up here. Y'all need to watch what you do down there. Okay? You can spank Ben after the service, okay? It's bad tonight. This is not only time change Sunday and spring break something. There's something spooky about this day also. Joash means servant. Servant. In many ways, the work and the appointment of Joash over the sellers of oil is a realistic picture of the work of you and me in the local church. You do understand that the ministry of a local church is not the work of one person. Every great church, every great ministry had good people. They had a bunch of Joashes willing to serve without recognition, willing to serve in their place of service, willing to do the king's bidding for the king's honor. We're servants. We should never be ashamed of being called a servant. Jesus called himself a servant. The word minister, referring to the pastor, means servant. Over and over again, we're told that the preacher is not a lord, he's a minister, a shepherd, a servant. Jesus said those that will be greatest in his kingdom will be servants. Servants of all. Now, when God was creating the world, he only made one sun. He only made one moon to light the earth. Then there's a little passage in that same chapter that says, and he made the stars also. You know, in the church, there's only one pastor. There's a senior pastor. There may be other assistant pastors as there are here. But I'm telling you, Trinity Baptist Church could never do what she does if it wasn't the fact that God made the stars also. God has chosen out multitudes of servants like Joash who serve without public recognition, without special recognition. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about bus drivers and bus workers and Sunday school secretaries. I'm talking about janitors and yard keepers. And yes, I'm talking about associate pastors. You don't know what our staff does. You don't have, while you've been in here worshiping, many of you had no idea that Brother Tom Davis was in the bathroom unstopping commodes. You would have never known that had I not told you tonight. Why? So you can worship God, so you can meet here, so you'll have a place that's working, that's proper, that's doing what it ought to do in order to make this a comfortable, nice place to worship. Group captains. You don't hear much about group captains. Custodians. Those that mow the grass. And then, not only are those, there are those that are appointed jobs, but we have really two or three that'll walk by a flower bed and see weeds in it and come up and clean it out without being asked. What a rare breed. Now, we don't have many of those. We need more of those. But I'm simply saying to you, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not go on by one highly visible person. For every Sunday service that I stand up here and preach, or Brother Sam stands to lead the choir, and the choir stands up here and sing, there is literally 200 or 300 people working during the week, maybe more, just to get the place ready for the next service. Thank God for those that are keepers of their cellar of oil. Thank God for the Joashes that serve. And I'm trying to say to you tonight, I want to recognize you and thank you, and I want you to know how valuable you are and how important you are to our God and our Savior and to this preacher. I want to point out just a few thoughts about Joash and his ministry. His work was not seen by the multitude, but his work helped the multitude to see. Throughout the kingdom, in the houses, a little lamp would burn because Joash had been faithful to his job. Throughout the king's palaces, the children's rooms were lit because Joash was faithful to his job. When one got sick or one was hurt and they needed to have medicating oil to put on it, it was available because Joash was faithful to do his job. What a tragedy for darkness to come and there be no oil. What a tragedy for a child to fall and bruise himself and skin himself and there was no oil to put in the wound to help bring about healing. over the cellars of oil. Think of what the oil was used for. It was used for cooking. It was used by the priest and the prophets for anointing oil. It was used to light the lamps. It was used for medication when someone was hurt or injured. And old Joash, he just did his job. They didn't walk by and say, look at old Joash working. Man, how faithful he is. He's out of sight. He's down in the cellar. But he just did his job. And because he did his job, though he was not seen by the multitudes, multitudes could see. And you know, that's what we're trying to do. Our job as Christian servants in the local church, we're trying to push back the darkness. We're trying to take those that have been hurt by sin and Satan and the world and put the anointing oil of the Word of God in their wound so they can heal. We're trying to help them and grow them and strengthen them. And yet, the great multitude of people doing the work are seldom ever seen or noticed. Most of you have no idea what goes on Sunday afternoon here at this church. You have no idea of the people involved in bus ministry. I came from feeding our guest speaker this morning and got back here. It was 2:30, 3 o'clock, maybe later, somewhere 2:30. Three, something like that, and I saw Mrs. Reed coming out. She'd been teaching. She teaches up here in the afternoon in our children's ministries. She had her stuff in her hands going to her car. She'd finished teaching. Most of you never know that. Then here comes brother Bruce and brother David. I'm sorry, David. God forbid that I called you Isaac. You're a lot better looking than Isaac. Not as smart, but a lot better looking. Okay. But here comes David and Bruce. And they have a little boy in their hands, going to a car, going to take him home. Trying to get control of him. So the way they get control over a child that's misbehaving, they take him out to the 4-lane highway out here. And no, I'm joking. But you don't know that. You never see that. You never see the buses that are parked out here. And you don't know that on Saturdays, Brother Barlow's up here gassing them up and fixing them, getting them ready to go. And before you ever get up in the morning, he's up here starting them up. And in the wintertime, that's no easy job. Takes them out there and parks them so they'll be ready to roll out in order for the bus captain. You don't ever see that. You don't get here early enough to see some people come in here and put offering envelopes in the pews. Someone come in and work in the choir to get the music ready. You don't see that. You don't see the work that goes on to clean and straighten up. You don't see all of the hours of work in visitation, visiting class, calling that goes on. Just to have Sunday services. I'm telling you, if it was dependent upon one person, myself or Brother Laster, we'd have a little handful in here on Sunday. We wouldn't have had 1,100 and something in Sunday school on Time Change Sunday and Spring Break Sunday. You work. You're out of sight. Most of your ministry is not seen by the multitudes. But your work makes it possible for the multitudes to see. Young man came down and dedicated his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a junior in college in Miami of Ohio. And came in as a bus kid, rode Jimmy Pollock's orange bus got saved, baptized, got a scholarship, a scholastic scholarship. He's not a basketball player or a football player. He's using his brains. I'm simply saying we don't see the work that goes on to reach young men and young women. We don't see what's poured into their lives. We don't see the love, the heartache, the tears, the sweat. We don't see the shivering in some of the winter mornings just to try to reach boys and girls and men and women. But you know why they do it? Though they're not seen by the multitudes, they help the multitude to see. Most of God's servants are not seen by the multitudes. The ministry of a great church and is carried on, not carried on by one person, but a great host of people who works behind the scenes, simply making it possible for the work to be done. We talk about and read about Dr. J. Frank Norris, who built the largest Sunday school church in the world in his day. Hey, that wasn't the work of J. Frank Norris alone. There was literally hundreds of workers. We talk about the great ministry of Dr. Jack Hiles at there with the largest Sunday school in the world. And yet, there are literally armies of workers that are never seen by the multitudes, but they help the multitudes to see. And I'm simply standing here tonight and saying I recognize that, and I want to salute you and say thank God for those of you who take your ministry seriously, who give the job your best effort, who pray and work and sweat and weep and give and give and give of self to reach people for Jesus Christ, just to help the multitudes to see. Secondly, his job was seemingly small as compared to the rest of the kingdom. But the king depended on him every day. You know, because Joab did his job properly, the king knew that the lamps would be full of oil and there'd be light in the house. Because Joab did his job properly, the king knew that if there was a wound, there'd be oil to pour in that wound for healing. He knew there would be oil for cooking. He knew there would be fuel for the lamps and the fires. His job was seemingly small as compared to Joab, general of the army, or the captains, or the shepherds. But the king depended on him every day. Every day. May I say this is true about you and your job? Your job may be small as compared to somebody else, but I want you to know the king's depending on you. I'm talking about King Jesus. He depends on you to do your job every day and to do it right. You may not be under day by day, hour by hour supervision, but the one who really matters sees. He's taking note whether you're faithful or whether you're slothful. He's taking note whether you're doing your job or you're skimping on your job. We better realize that what we do, just like Joash was doing his job for the king, what we are doing in ministry is for him. And if it's not for him, then you're not right. You're not what you ought to be. You're not doing what you ought to do. If it's for you, if it's for recognition, that's all wrong. It ought to be for Him and Him alone, first and foremost. Thirdly, I want you to know that He was faithful, realizing His job was a kingly appointment. His job was a kingly appointment. Now, the king didn't give out these ministries, these jobs to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. He gave them out to men who had already proven themselves. men who had already proven themselves dependable, proven themselves faithful, proven themselves loyal. These men were already honorable men. They had proven themselves. And the king appointed them a job in his kingdom. May I say to you tonight that we should never look at our job as unimportant. The King of Glory reached down and took you out of the crowd and gave you a job to do for Him. Your job is a kingly appointment. You say, oh, preacher, you asked me to do the job. Who laid you on preacher's heart? Who moved in your heart to say yes? This isn't the preacher's church. This isn't my work. It's God's work. We better look at our jobs that way. All I am is a custodian. Hey, you're a custodian for Jesus. Do your job well. All I am is a secretary in a Sunday school class. Yes, but you're a secretary in a Sunday school class that belongs to Jesus. Do your job well. I'm just a helper on a bus route. Ah, but that's God's bus route. It belongs to Him. You're working with children He died for on the cross of Calvary. Do your job well. Well, I'm just a Sunday school teacher. I really deserve an adult class. But all I've got is a little boy's class. Do your job well. Because that class and those in the class belong to Him. And we're doing it for Jesus. Joab was faithful, realizing his was a kingly appointment. A kingly appointment. Don't think your job is unimportant. And then may I say also, fourthly, though it was not a glamorous job, it was the most important job in the kingdom because it was Joash's job. It was Joash's job. Joash didn't approach his job as, say, like some of you saying, bless God, if they'd give me an adult class, that's what I deserve. No, Joash realized this was his job. Don't you understand that promotion comes from God? Promotion in the Lord's work comes from God? It's not how many opportunities we have. It's what we do with the one opportunity we've got right now that's going to determine whether there's anything better in the future for us. If God can't trust you in the job you've got now, if God can't trust our young men to clean this building like it ought to be clean, He's not going to trust them with a ministry dealing with people. Be faithful where you are. And in God's time, He'll promote you. If you're not faithful where you are, then don't expect God to give you something better if He can't trust you where you are right now, what you're doing right now. You know, I find among ministry, and especially among young preachers and Christian workers, that they want to skip the time of training and the time of discipline. Young preachers want to skip school and go right into the ministry. Can you imagine Simon Peter saying, Jesus, now you called me to be an apostle. I want to skip all of this 3-year training stuff, walking with you. Just put me on out there and give me my ministry. No. Before the apostle Paul ever was sent out as a missionary from the church at Antioch, from the time he was saved and called, approximately 8 to 10 years, passed by. And in that time, he was being taught by the Lord. He was learning. He was preaching. He was ministering. And because he was faithful, God said, now I've got a job bigger than anything you've ever done before. Young preachers want to get called and be ordained. Now, I have a rule around here. I won't ordain any young preacher that does not have the discipline to go start and finish Bible college. If he's not going to make it in Bible college, he'll not make it in the ministry. Oh, man, they say in my class, boy, I can't wait till I get out of school so I can take it easy. Not if you're in the Lord's work. Son, you're dumber than a rock. I thought that one of these days I'd get to take it a little bit easier in the ministry as I got older and I'd be able to go fishing. My boat's going to dry rot. Seems like the older I get, the busier I get, the more there is to do. You don't start out in the work of God at the top. If you're not faithful in the cellar of oil, don't expect to become a counselor. Don't expect to become a scribe. Don't expect to be promoted to the captain in the Lord's army. It was the job you have right now is the most important job in your life because it's your job right now. It's your job. You know what my first ministry in the local church was? I was a grown man. I taught first grade boys. First grade boys. I never dreamed while I was in that class that God was beginning to prepare me to be his pastor and preacher. Later on, when I surrendered to preach, and I was on church staff, going to Bible college full time, I was an associate pastor. Man, I had my name up there. You know what my job was? I went to school till noon every day. Then I cleaned the buildings, mopped the floor, vacuumed, buffed, waxed. I taught a Sunday school class. I wrote the Sunday school lessons for the Sunday school. I was in charge of the bus ministry. I visited the hospitals and went soul winning. I also helped type and print the church bulletin and mailed it out. Not prestigious. A lot of work. Little sleep. And by the way, guys, you come in late to college at 8 o'clock. Well, some of these, you ought to see them come in. Some of them come in, class starts at 8. They're there 10 seconds before 8. They've got donuts hanging out of their mouth, coffee in their hand, sleepy in their eyes. Now, some of them have worked all night. And it's a tribute to them to be there at 8 o'clock. Hey, I'm simply saying to you, though Joash's job was not glamorous, it was the most important job in the world because it was his job. His job. Hey, a church calls and says, would you recommend a young man to be a pastor, to be a youth pastor, to be a music director? Would you recommend someone that I could put in charge of the ministry here in our church? Now think with me. Who am I going to recommend? Am I going to recommend the young man with talent that skips half the classes? Am I going to recommend the young man that is always late, never has his work ready? Am I going to recommend to him the young man that, oh, he may be able to sing beautifully, but he's not dependable? He can't write his papers, but he can take time on MySpace. By the way, I told Brother Reed that any student that has a deal on MySpace needs to get it off or get out of school, one or the other. Just thought you'd like to know that. any person that I know that has a deal on MySpace is not going to stand up here in the special music ministry of our church. You say, I'm just preaching to them. Then go to them personally. Get off of that. Get off of that. I'm not going to go down and go into one of the gentlemen's club to preach to them. I'm not going to go in and sit at a bar and preach to them. Just not going to do it. I'm saying we need to be faithful. We need to realize our job, our ministry, is the most important job in the world because it's the one God has entrusted to me. And I ought to do it right. I ought to do it faithfully. I ought to do it loyally. I ought to do it honestly. I ought to do it with a good testimony within and without. Now I say to you also, his job was performed totally to benefit others. His job was performed totally to benefit others. He was a servant. He was not lord or governor. He did not picket for his rights. He gave up his rights to serve the king. Others always benefited because he was faithful. What a man. What a man. You know, the truth is, in our ministry, yes, we get blessed. Yes, if we do it right, somewhere down the road, God's going to give us recognition and blessing and honor. But that's not why we ought to do our job. We ought to do it for Him first and foremost. We ought to do it for others. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about the need of others. Bringing people to Him. We're servants. We're servants. A servant doesn't stand up and say, well, I've got my rights. A bond slave, a bond servant, over and over again, that's what Paul called himself in the Scripture, is one who had been set free, but loved his master so much, he gave himself back to the master to serve him for the rest of his life. A bond servant. Oh, that's what we ought to be. Serving because we love the Master. Serving to be a benefit to Him and for others. His job was performed totally to benefit others. Sixthly, His name is recorded along with all others who were appointed and faithful. It's in the same listing as Joab. It's in the same listing as the captains, the counselors. May I say to you, my dear friend, it is not the position that really matters. It's our faithfulness doing the job God's given us to do that's most important. I tell our preacher boys that in reality there's no big preachers and little preachers. No big churches and little churches, just faithful preachers and unfaithful ones, faithful churches and unfaithful ones. May I say that applies to Christians also? Oh, we say he's a big Christian in that church. No, he's either faithful or unfaithful. Faithful or unfaithful. It's not the name of the job that matters, it's our faithfulness. Our dependability, our loyalty to the Master, that makes the difference. And because Joash was faithful doing his job, his name appeared in the list with the others that had more public jobs, more appealing jobs. He was just a keeper of the cellar of oil, but he was faithful. Then let me conclude tonight by saying you may feel unimportant to this world. You may feel unimportant to society. You may feel unimportant to your church. But let me tell you, you're important to God. You're important to God. You're important to this preacher. Don't you understand, in order for God to save you, it took the suffering of His Son. It took his bleeding and dying on that old rugged cross to save you, just like it did to save the greatest preacher that ever lived. God didn't have to pay less price to redeem you than he did the Apostle Paul. You're an ever-living soul. You're made in the likeness and image of God. You're created for His glory and for His honor. And you better mark it down. You're important to Him. What you do in the church is important to Him. Just as God had a will for Paul's life, God's got a will for my life, and He's got a will for your life. Thank God they're not all exactly the same. We're made differently, and God chooses to use us differently. But that does not mean one is more important than another. Our job, one job may be more visible than another, but it doesn't mean it's more important than the other. We're important to God. It's important that we do His will, where we're the keep, whether or not we're keepers of the sellers of oil or we're the general of the king's army. I'm asking you tonight, after 35 years, there's been a host of people who gave themselves to God, who put themselves in the hand of God and at the disposal of God to bring us to where we are tonight, that Trinity Baptist Church could celebrate its 35th birthday. The truth is, the devil thought he had killed it 20-something years ago. And there were times I didn't know whether or not it was going to make it. And the fact that it did make it is not accredited to a person, but to God working through people who were willing to say, "Lord, I'm not much, but here I am, use me." And tonight we're celebrating our 35th birthday as a church. Now, those people are gone. It's in our hands now. It's your watch. You're the one that's got to keep the cellars of oil. You're the one that's got to teach the class. You're the one that'll drive the buses. You're the one that'll sing the choir. You're the one that'll clean the floors. You're the one that'll take care of the flower beds. You're the one that'll find that ministry that may seem insignificant to everybody else, but it's what God has given you to do for Him at this time. Now we've got to step up to the plate. We've got to do it. For a church our size, we run 9 bus routes. Most churches our size are running 20 buses, 25 buses. Now, you can only do that when there's people that'll say, "God, here am I, use me." They don't say, "Lord, I'm not willing to give up my Sunday afternoon," like some of you have. And if the number, like some of you, multiply, we'll go out of the bus ministry because there'll be nobody to serve. You say, "But our buses run on Sunday afternoon." So do theirs. So do theirs. It's a matter of whether or not you're hearing God speak. And may I say to you, God is calling far more than saying, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me." You're important to God. Whether it's a Sunday school class or a bus route or getting your CDL license and driving a bus, doesn't matter what the name of it is. What matters is that you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to your heart about what God has planned for your life and your ministry right now. When you hear that voice, you've got a choice. You'll either say, "Yes, Lord, here am I." Or you'll say, "Uh-uh, Lord. I've got my own plans. I want my own time." If Paul had had that attitude, we'd have probably been heathen today. bus captains of the past that had that attitude, that young man would not be a Christian today, and he would have not rededicated his life, and he would not be where he is at. If some previous bus captains had not been faithful, the funeral we preached for the 20-year-old boy that was killed by a hit and run, he'd be in hell today, not in heaven, because nobody loved him to tell him about Jesus. I'm simply saying to you, if Jesus tarries his coming, I'd like to see this church be around for another 35 years. Faithful. Baptist without apology. Old-fashioned, fundamental, soul-winning, Bible-believing, King James preaching. Missionary. Sending out missionaries and soul winners around the world. Training young men and women for the Lord's work. It won't happen unless there's some men and women like Joash that'll hear the voice of the King. I'll serve you, Lord. You're the one that's going to put me in the place you want me of service. I'll answer your call. Our problem is we've got too many like the old deacon I had here at one time that said, yes, preacher, I'll serve in an advisory capacity. No, God's not looking for advisors. He's looking for servants. People thus say, here am I, Lord. Use me. And I want to say in closing, I salute those who for the last 35 years have given and prayed and witnessed and stood in the gap and made possible this ministry. I salute them tonight. But if we celebrate another 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, it's dependent upon you hearing His voice and saying, Lord, here am I. Use me. I'll serve you. I'll be faithful. I'll take this kingly appointment and I'll do my best for Jesus. Father, that's our message tonight. Thank you for using us. Thank you for letting us serve you. Thank you for finding a place for us to start out. And as we're faithful, promoting us, growing us, strengthening us, preparing us for greater work. Help us to realize the job we're doing now is preparation for the next phase of our life and our ministry. And if we're not faithful here, we can't expect promotion and blessing. Now, Lord, we love you tonight. We sure need you. Again, thank you for the faithful servants who make this church ministry possible every week. Thank you for those who pray. And Lord, we know that we've got a great number of people here that are not physically able to do the work that needs to be done, but they pray and they give and they love and they encourage. I thank you for them. Every person is important. God, help every one of us to be faithful, doing what we can do for the Lord's work. I thank you, Father, for those who carry such a load, those who are dependable, those who are faithful, those who love you, those who serve with a smile, those that are so faithful, I don't have to wonder where they are or what they're going to be doing. They're going to be about the Lord's business. Thank you for them. Add to their number. Bless us, fill us, and use us. We ask it in Jesus' name.